God is not your gopher. Sometimes we talk to God as though we're giving him our shopping list. Please do this for me and that. Amen. Which is not to say we shouldn't ask for what we want, but even more important, we should ask God what he wants. Placing ourselves in service to him is the single most important key to finding right relationship with everyone and everything. We can't save the world without God, but God also can't save the world without us. In making ourselves available to his plan, we can't always see how our part fits into the overall scheme of things, but we don't need to. What we need, perhaps more than anything else, is enough faith in ourselves to appreciate his faith in us. He doesn't create small spirits, and he doesn't have small plans. He created us in greatness, and he has greatness in mind for us. Mediocrity has no place in God's creation. There have been times in my life when I backed away from something extraordinary, thinking, "Oh, who am I to do such a thing?" But in reality, who was I not to do something if God had placed it in front of me? Like everything else, we have humility and arrogance completely upside down. It's not humble to think you can't do what God is asking you to do. It's arrogant to think you know yourself better than the one who thought you up. Miracle workers are not to be concerned about their own readiness. They just need to be consistently aware of his. Once we've asked to be the conduit through which God operates, our only job is to relax into the holy instant and allow the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and actions. We're only the faucet. God is the water. Making decisions. The world tells us all kinds of ways to make intelligent decisions, but there's no intelligence like divine intelligence. It emanates from a place in which all things, past, present, and future, are known and blessed. It makes decisions based on the highest good for all living things. Surrendering all decisions into the hands of God is not a giving up of personal responsibility. It's the highest form of taking responsibility. When we decide things for ourselves, not only are we driving blind, unable to see around the next bend in the road, we're also trying to compensate for whatever we thought we lacked in the past. The past is a poor navigational tool. You can't steer your car forward when you're staring in the rearview mirror. Since the perception of lack then forms our core belief, we inevitably and subconsciously repeat it. Making decisions with the ego mind will only result in more ego, tightening its grip ever more on our minds and on our lives. When we place an issue in the hands of the Holy Spirit, however, he uplifts and rearranges our perceptions. When we place an issue on the altar, he alters our thinking. I've often received direct guidance after prayerfully requesting it before going to sleep at night. If we pray at that time, "Should I do this or should I do that?" often relevant dreams appear during our sleep. Guidance may wake us during the night, or we may wake in the morning with a sense of knowing. Those moments can be important because the ego hasn't had a chance yet to put up its mental filter and muffle the voice for God. It's odd that we teach children to say their prayers at night, but somehow think that once we're adults, we don't need to. Like what, once we're grown up, we know everything already, so we don't need any help? The voice for God is like a spiritual radio signal, and late at night and first thing in the morning are when it's easiest to get clear reception. Then, and when we meditate, those are the times when the world isn't so much with us, when the obfuscation of worldly plans isn't burdening our minds. Whatever time of day it is, we can become attuned to receiving guidance that we know comes from beyond our mortal mind. The voice for God doesn't ignore the realities of practical existence. The Holy Spirit understands the world, yet understands its place in God's scheme of things as well. He's like an ambassador from God, entering the worldly illusion with the function of guiding us beyond it. He shows us how to dwell on the earth while still holding on to the principles of heaven. He doesn't teach us to ignore the world or our worldly responsibilities. He simply teaches us how to live our lives with deeper meaning and in a way that serves the world best. In that way, we participate in a collective effort to reclaim this realm for love. Many times we do hear God's guidance, but we simply can't square it with what our mortal minds believe. Why would Spirit direct me to go to Chicago if Seattle is where that job is? Only a year later will you know, and you'll feel bitterly disappointed if you missed out on something great in Chicago and find yourself saying, "I had a feeling I should go there." Once you've messed up enough times because you didn't follow your inner guidance, you become much more obedient. God has only our happiness in mind and the happiness of every living thing. Once we realize that, the road becomes much easier to follow. Following love. Obedience to God means a willingness to follow the dictates of love, thoughts and behavior prescribed for us by a force that wants only our happiness and good, as opposed to thought and behavior masquerading as our self-interest, but that is in fact our own self-destructiveness. This makes for a radical departure from a traditional notion of God as stern, frowning, judgmental, or narrow. The purpose of our lives, according to A Course in Miracles, is to be happy. God wants us to be happy, however, far more than we seem to want it for ourselves. It's contrary to much of traditional religious teaching to believe that surrender to God is surrender to something that only has our highest good in mind. To the ego, suffering looks somehow more important, more substantial than happiness. The ego realizes that suffering changes things, but the Holy Spirit realizes that joy changes things as well. Watching babies at play, are we not moved to smile? Being loved by our mate, are we not moved to smile? Achieving a creative task, are we not moved to smile? What could be more natural than joy? Until we realize this, we're tempted to think, do I want to do God's will or do I want to be happy? As long as we doubt that happiness and God's will are the same thing, we tend to decide against ourselves. How easy can it be to surrender if we're not convinced that what we're surrendering to really wants to see us happy? Basing our decisions on the matters of the world should be balanced with weighing them against the matters of the heart. Once legalities, medical opinions, accounting, and other people's perspectives have been factored in, once all options have been researched and analyzed, then all decisions should be placed in the hands of God. The most powerful way to make a decision is to ask God to make it for you. Sometimes I feel I've asked and asked and the answer still hasn't come. At such times, I know what the answer really is. As it's often said in Alcoholics Anonymous, more will be revealed. Sometimes the answer isn't as simple as do this or do that. Sometimes it's that we need to become more patient, knowing that as we continue to grow in depth and understanding, we'll either know what to do or the question will take care of itself. According to A Course in Miracles, only infinite patience produces immediate results. When our faith is strong enough, we're not worried that God didn't hear us or that He might not get back to us. And there's another issue that can tempt us to play God, our false belief that we know what is best for others. Such thoughts as, I can't leave him because he needs me, or I have to stay in this job because the people here wouldn't be able to make it without me, are examples. In fact, it's a win-win universe. When spirit enters into a situation, it will be an automatic win for all concerned. We're afraid to make a decision that might hurt someone and go around with the best of intentions trying to avoid that. Yet, if we simply ask God to make our decision for us, then He who knows what is ultimately best for everyone will decide from a vantage point much wiser than our mortal mind could muster. In truth, whatever God's guidance is for you is what would be best for others in the long run as well. Allowing God to make our decisions for us is just another form of deep surrender. When God is invited to choose, more insight becomes available to us, more dimensions of knowing begin to blossom. We become so full once we make ourselves empty. We become so smart once we realize we're not. And we become so powerful once we understand we're powerless. Exchanging our mortal intelligence for divine intelligence, we will begin to see beyond appearances, and nothing will be the same.